Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here. And Father, we just pray that you would be with us today and help us, oh God, to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we're going to finish up the Watering the Seed, Part 10, Seed Life, Number 2. And before we begin, we'll be gone next Sunday. So I'm going to give you a vote, and we can do it two ways. We can come here, and then Nathan, after song service, will click on the link and we'll play a video for you. Or we can have you just watch that at home. And if you do, then just hit streaming like you normally do, and we'll have the link changed to the video. So all in favor of not driving next week, but I don't want you to really watch it in your pajamas, but, you know, do the best for the Lord. Anyway, all those in favor of not having service next week, raise your hand. Huh? You'll be traveling anyway, okay. And we'll do the link, okay. So so I'll let them know, just to change the link for a week. And then the week that we get back, on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve, we're going to have a really, really good sermon. It's 12 questions and answers, 7 from South America, 5 from Africa. And it really gets into the resurrection. I mean, there's like splitting hairs. It's so defined, the things Brother Branham says. And we're learning that we take every word he says, not just kind of brush it off and say, well, you know, that's okay. But we're learning that every single word that he says has a meaning, has a significance. Just like, I'll just give you a hint. One question is, well, Brother Branham says in this sermon that the resurrection will take place universally, everywhere in the world. Then in this other one, he says, watch the resurrection and things in there. And they take those two quotes and say, now, I don't understand if the resurrection is going to be in the tent or it's going to be universal. Well, we get into that, and I show you exactly what's going to happen. All right, and it's really phenomenal, and it ties in with some of the things that I've already said about 2 weeks ago. But it's really phenomenal just when you take the prophet at his word and you take it right then, you take it to the scripture, and it proves right out. So that's the great thing, is you take it right to the word, it proves it out. So this morning, again, we'll begin at rapture, where Brother Branham says, then how do we get into this body? Okay, that's an important question. 1 Corinthians 12 says, by one spirit we're all baptized into this body, by one Holy Spirit. If you want to put it down, it's 1 Corinthians 12:13, and by one spirit we're all baptized, and the spirit is the life of Christ. Is that right? The life of Christ, and the life of any seed, which he was the word seed, and it brings the seed to life. Now, Brother Branham sat for 4 hours with Brother Vail, and they went over the evidence of the Holy Spirit, because Brother Branham said, well, just a minute. You said that when you got the Holy Spirit, that you were out in the shed, and it felt like it was raining, you know, it felt like rain coming down, stuff like that. And finally, Brother Branham looked at him and said, Lee, we don't go by experience, we go by the Word of God. So then in the church's book, they put down the true evidence of the Holy Ghost is that your heart is in the Word for the hour in which you live. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in here who can say their heart is not into this Word. If there is, well, I wouldn't even ask you to raise your hands because you'd be embarrassed. But anyway, I really believe that we're all filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing. And we've been baptized into one family. And Jesus is our older brother. So, and the life, and the spirit, okay, the spirit, is the life, because he said, my words are spirit and they're truth. Is that right? The life of Christ. And the life of any seed, which was the word seed, brings the seed, here's the important thing, to life. I had a brother come to me years ago, and he said, you know, you really made me upset today by what you preached. I was preaching on how you can think that you're born again, think that you receive the Holy Ghost, but the life is not there. And he said, you know, I was raised up to believe that I am one of God's. And, you know, I really believe that I'm, Abraham's seed, you know. And I really believe this thing, but what you said tonight, and I see my life. And I said, your life will produce Christ. It has to. Look, it has to. If you have His Spirit, you don't have an unholy spirit in you and go out and drink and fornicate and everything else. No, you have His Holy Spirit. And this man was fornicating. And so he left church and he ended up going to jail for child molestation. All right, so, you know, he answered that sermon by his life. Okay? You get it. If that life is laying in the seed, and this baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon it, the seed, it's bound to bring that seed to life. All right? So today I want to look at this life that is in the seed, because that is what it's all about. If we have the same life, then of course we'll have the same nature. Because you can't deny that if you have the same nature, your actions and your speech will be the same, because you have the same nature, the same spirit, the same mind. And what then he did, we're going to do. All right? You can't help it. He said, you know, these things that I do, you'll do also. You can't help yourself. It's your nature to do the same thing that he did. In the spoken word, he said, Jesus was the example seed. Now, either that means something or it doesn't. Anyone who would deny that certainly might have religion, but not the same spirit that was in Christ. In fact, I would say that they are void of the Holy Spirit, and their churches are just a social institution. Wow, that's pretty strong stuff. Listen, I didn't get as strong as some people did. So, you know, I mean, anyway, I'm not going to compare. Now, for the last few weeks, we talked about that the seed is predestinated with everything in it to begin with. So when you're born again, look, you've got the complete DNA you'll ever have. All right? You've got the complete DNA of God you'll ever have. In other words, everything it was predestinated to be, because the seed contains the life, and the life has the very attributes and characteristics and will express what the original seed produced. Every seed must produce according to what the original seed produced. Or God didn't know what he's talking about when he said in Genesis 1:11, every seed according to its nature. Now, either God saw you before the foundations of the world, or he didn't. All right? Either he planted in that seed all the attributes and characteristics that seed will ever express, or he didn't. The expanded Bible says, then God said, let the earth produce plants, vegetation, some to make grain for seeds, and others to make fruits with seeds in them. Every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant, fruit trees on earth bearing fruit according to its kind, species, that has seed in them. And it happened. It happened. Just like he said, just like he thought, it happened. And the seed must produce the life that's in it that it will ever have. Okay, you don't have a watermelon seed you put it on the shelf because you're hoping that next year it will be a grapefruit. I mean, you're not born a human and by God's grace, you know, I mean, I'm going to not be a human. I'm going to be, or let's say it this way. You were born a man. Because you are a man. The seed's there. You can't say, well, you know what? I feel like I'm an apple. Or I feel like I'm an apricot. Or I feel like I'm a toad. Good grief. You're insane. Okay? Just insanity. It's just, these people are mental. And you know what? I ran across a very good quote the other day. And Brother Branham said that when the bride is gone, this whole world goes into chaos. Aren't we seeing the beginning of chaos now?
Amen.
We're seeing it, okay? So that's what's going to. I'm so happy when I see words like that, that it condemns the world. But boy, I tell you what, it just really glorifies my soul. All right, so the seed will produce what is in it. That is all it'll ever produce. And the life in the seed is placed in it to express itself with those same attributes and characteristics, okay? But you look at the seed, you can't tell what attributes and characteristics are there until it manifests. You see, that's why it's so important that we come to this, that we have the spirit of adoption, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we come to a full mature adult in Christ. So we're blooming, all right? Now, from sign of his coming, he said, a vindication of God's word being true, God bears record of his word by his signs. God's word is a seed, the Bible says, Luke 8:11. Now, the parable is the seed is the word of God. And that seed has to bring forth of its kind. Genesis 1:11, every seed of its kind. And Jesus said that the word of God was a seed that a sower sowed. And we just read that for you, Luke 8:11. So then every promise in the Bible has to produce its kind. Amen. That includes John 14:12. Now, how can you going to get away from it? When they say that there's no such a thing as a Holy Ghost today, that it was only given to the apostles, when Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when they all received the Holy Ghost, now look, what were they doing? According to Isaiah and all the prophets that prophesied, the Holy Ghost would be poured out. Now, here's a man under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Let me just say this, too. Did you know that you all have the Holy Ghost in you? It's a light, and it's about the size of a button when it comes in, but it grows and grows. Listen, I have some pictures that I could show you that you would see that it just takes over. It takes over your whole being. Brother Bram, when he saw Brother Vail, he said, you know, I saw a light over your head. And so all these people say, oh, you know, he had the pillar of fire like Brother Bram. You know, listen, 120 on the day of Pentecost all had lights. They had licks of fire. If you're born again, you have that lick of fire. You have the same thing Brother Vail had. That's why you can say amen to what he says, because it's the truth. All right? Now, here's a man under inspiration with the Holy Ghost. He said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's far off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. Now, if you're scared of the scarecrows, you'll never get it. See? But if you're not afraid, come right on in behind the scarecrow. No matter what's done, this and that, that has nothing to do with you or God's word. Just stay right with the word. In other words, all this chaos that we are seeing, hey, it doesn't involve us. Although we're in the world and we suffer with it, we suffer because of it, or it just grieves us because you can't separate yourself from the world that you're in. But you can be in Christ and overcome those things, okay? Now, Brother Bram said from spiritual amnesia, he said, you can't forget it and be a Christian. What can't you forget and be a Christian? You must be identified with it. What does identified mean? It means to become one with. You must be identified with it. You must be identified with St. John, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. He that believeth with me, the works that I do shall he do also. Don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what your testimony means. That's why I so want you to just keep a little dialogue, record, diary, whatever you call it, of the things where God has been in touch with you since you were born, and how he has brought you into this message, how he has changed your life. You know, all those things are very important because it gives you faith. It increases your faith, okay? You realize it. Look, God didn't just throw a seed down like a man scatters, you know, throw seeds to the wind. No, God put them in rows. In each row, he put the right kind of seeds. And God has been there to till it and make it, you know, and he's just made sure that your life is a reflection of what it's supposed to be, okay? Notice he said, you must be identified with it or you have spiritual amnesia. Now, the word identified means to cause to be or become identical. So you have to have a life that is identical with John 14, 12. You have to. Now, it doesn't mean that every week, you know, let's see, I can chalk off my list, every week I'm going to do this and that. No, it's what God does. It's what you surrender yourself to. Like I told Brother Vail when I began to preach, I said, you know, Brother Vail, I said, I'm really worried about the church because they're putting everything in Brother Branham. And I said, the problem is that the people need to hear this. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I said, to me, John 14, 12 means that you have a mind that says, whatever God wants me to do, I am willing to do it. And then that's John 14, 12. Then God will do it, okay? And he said, that's exactly right. Preach it. So I have been ever since. Now, he says, you can't forget it and be a Christian. You must be identified with it. You must be identified. And then he says, and then the word identified is to become identical, to conceive as united in spirit, outlook, or principle, to become or become the same as John 14, 12. Therefore, it means more than just agreeing that John 14, 12 is okay, it was in Brother Brown. It means you must become John 14, 12 in your own life. Now you can start to look at your life and see the things that he did happen in your life or are happening in your life or will happen in your life, and you're claiming it, and now you become a witness to what he has done. That's all Brother Bram did. He said, I'm not the one who that came down. He said, I was just standing there when he appeared. All right? Now, Brother Bram makes it clear that John 14, 12 is for every believer. As we see in question and answers, they said, Brother Bram, can any man do the works of Christ unless he was Christ? In other words, if I'm not Christ, can I still do the works of Christ? That's what it is. Unless he was Christ? Sure. Let's take John, just a minute, John, St. John in the 14th chapter, and I want you to look at this now. Now, if you can catch it right quick, St. John 14, 12, I believe it is. We'll get it right quick, and look what Jesus said about this, all right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he, whoever it is. He's telling you what the he is. It's whoever. Whoever it is. He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Any man. The man himself can't be Christ. But the works of Christ will follow every believer. See, he'll do the works of Christ in any man. I like that because I'm any man. Right? You're any man. And he's going to do them. Who's going to do them? He's going to do them. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do. Not I shall do. Not just Brother Branham. He shall do. He shall do. Not I. But he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him and he becomes a part of me. Now that don't make him Christ. It makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church. All right? He is not Christ because that would be antichrist, you see. He would be taking away from Christ. But he can be, do the works of Christ, any believer, all right. And if that doesn't do it, because that's four times, that he tells you what the he is. Anyone, every man, every believer, etc. From be certain of God, he says, if I had the spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of Christ, then believe me not. And if the church, now that's just church included, if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. What are you coming here for? A little music? Go places, other places and get your music, but I give the word here. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them, plural, them that believe, and we've perverted it by the works of man, doctrines of man. The Bible said in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. Do we see it? Every day. It's on the news. It's in public. It's in the hospitals. It's in the education system. Everywhere. You say, well, them's are communists. No, them's are Christians, so-called, and church members. You know, the Speaker of the House is a so-called evangelical Christian, but you just watch him turn on us. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, saying, O God, did that in another age, not in this age. The Bible said, from such turn away. We're living in that day. Notice, he says in multiple ways that the he in John 14:12 refers to whoever it is, and in any man, and in every believer, and again in any man, and in any believer, etc. Now, this is the explanation for the question concerning John 14:12 that a vindicated prophet of God gave. Now, from the message about Jesus, people receive the Holy Ghost being born again, bore witness of the Spirit, signs and wonders has happened everywhere. What is it? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not with just Brother Branham, but with his church everywhere. So that answers the question that they say, well, that's just Brother Branham. I'm going to go in on his coattail. I'm sorry, he don't have coattail, so you missed it. All right, he's not going to drag you in. You're just as much into it, or more into it. I didn't stutter there. I'm trying to emphasize. More into it than I am. Wow. This just happens to be a gift. That don't mean it makes me any more than you. Probably not as much, see? If the resurrection will come tonight, you old-timers that's fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas would go before me, and you would deserve to go. I like that. I'm just following the road that you paved, that's all. I can identify with it now because I'm an old-timer. Okay. In my mind, I don't think I am, but I am because my body tells me I am. All right. God sent it, placed it. I had nothing to do with it coming. I was born that way, and it's just a gift to glorify Jesus Christ. Or not glorify, but to magnify him. Bring him out. Let the people see that he is here. God does that through the preaching of the word, through signs and wonders. He's the same Lord Jesus. Do you believe it? Amen. Okay. Now, from his sermon, Sirs, we which is Jesus, Brother Branham said, now, according to the scriptures, we are supposed to witness, we are supposed to be written epistles of him. The Bible says that we are written epistles. Well, now, let me just ask you something. How can you be a written epistle and called a saint, and you're living with someone who is not your own wife? There's a lot of that goes on in this message, you know. And it's just covered over by the preachers. They don't say nothing about it. Well, I am saying about it. You're going to hell, okay? And if tonight we would hunger and thirst to see the Lord Jesus, we as Christians believe should reflect his life so much till it would be his entire representation. We should be that. Wow. Wow. Every Christian should be represent and reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Every Christian. Are you a Christian in here? Is your life reflecting Jesus' life? I hope it is. I believe it is. Do you believe that? Congregation says amen. And I believe that every Christian should be reflecting the life of Christ. And he said in St. John the 14th, listen, it's going to be such a wonderful place over there. None of this chaos going on. None of these LGBT, they won't make it. They're going to be burned. All the homosexuals will be burned. All the politicians are going to go. They'll be burned because they're compromised by their very nature. There won't be an education system like there is here. It'll be God, and you know, it'll be God-induced. If we have any learning, we'll learn it from the Holy Ghost. You know, that's what he said. He, the Spirit of Truth, comes. He'll teach you. He'll lead you into all truth. All right? And I believe that every Christian should be reflecting the life of Christ. He said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And then we know that that's the truth. that we are his representatives, and if we claim that Christ lived in us, and if Christ lives in us, then we should do as Christ did. We should reflect his life. You know, it's very apparent here that William Branham believed John 14:12 was for every Christian, and that every Christian should reflect the life of Christ to do the works of Christ. Also, from his sermon, Mark of the Beast, William Branham said, "Now remember, the Bible said, don't spare nothing, little or young or old or all that hasn't got this seal of God would be marked otherwise." And look, who was marked out of it? Lifelong men who gave their lives for the clergy, priests and renowned men, great priests and scholars. Now, how many knows that's true? Why, sure it is. Sure it is. Just as a scholar, just as holy, just as sweet. Oh, wasn't he a sweet man? Just as fine, perhaps fine people, citizens of the country, but that's no excuse. When God sends something and you fail to walk in it, then you're out. That's all. You either do or you don't. That's the way it was. All that didn't get in the ark, they drowned. And that was all there was to it. No matter who they was. That's the same thing. All that's not in Christ today will perish without Christ. It's true. So you can't say, I'm a Methodist or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or anything else. You've got to be in Christ. And if you're of Christ, you will do the works of Christ. That bears record and proves that it is. It's just as clear as a scripture. I know how to say it. That's just as plain as a nose on this big face, or big nose on this face of mine, rather. That's right. So what is he saying? John 14:12 means everything to you. It's your life. It's his life. Now, from Christ's ministry, they said, we received the Holy Ghost when we believed. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a difference, see? That's right. See? And they say, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The Methodists say, well, we are based upon the Bible. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? See? Right there. The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in him, now, where is it at? That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not fail. Now, where is it at? Well, I'm going to tell you where it's at. I know in this ministry, I gave you 52 things where God has been very apparent that he has done things for us. And I could take your own record and add to that, and we'd have hundreds of times God has interceded for you. Hundreds of times God is on the scene, and you are very aware that it was God. Just last week, that cyst was gone because what happened? Brother Terry asked us to pray outside. We all held hands. We prayed together, and then you were in. They examined you right after that, and guess what? They didn't find it. Hallelujah, okay? Notice again, that's all of you praying. That's your prayers. That's your John 14:12, okay? That's one to put in your book. All right, now notice again, he says, every person, and after he mentions John 14:12, he then asks the question, where is it at? It's supposed to be in the church. So where is it at? There it is, supposed to be in the church, so where is it at? And what has prevented it from manifesting openly as he longed to see it? As he longed to see it. You know, I have people that called us Pentecostal. You know, we're just going back to Pentecost because we believe in John 14:12. Well, I'm sorry that you don't. Where's it at? I know it's here, but where else is it at? That's what I want to know. I want to see it manifest. Now, from Christ's mystery, St. John 14:12, he said, anybody, so Brother Bram's telling you who he is, anybody, he that believes on me, the works I do shall he do also. Well, that was for another age. There you got the picture wrong again. Notice his explanation for the word he in he that believeth is anybody. Okay? Notice he used the word anybody for he that Jesus refers to in John 14:12. The problem is some believe John 14, 12 speaks only of William Branham, where William Branham himself believed it. It speaks of all believers who are filled with the Holy Ghost, and that also himself, especially with the greater works, as we saw in his ministry, yet it is just as important for all believers. Why did Brother Bosworth, who wasn't even, he grew up before the message, but when he saw the works that Brother Branham was doing, he said, that's what I prayed for would come to the church all these years. He had 225 written confessions from people that said, I was totally healed in your ministry. People that just over the radio were healed. I mean, there was an entire school for the deaf closed down. Wow. That's something. And you know what? He got kind of giddy. Whenever he prayed for the deaf, he got giddy because he had already seen it manifest itself many to other people. So now he had another one of those. Just like I get giddy when it's extremely hot and the people are suffering, and I get extremely giddy because I know that if I ask God to turn that weather down by 30 degrees, he will do it because he already did it we had a storm in Africa, but he did it here in when we were in Kentucky, and he did it in Argentina. So I get happy. That anything that about weather, I get happy because I've seen the rain stop and I've seen the rain start. I've seen the winds stop. I've seen the, it's just really wonderful, okay? So I get really kind of extremely giddy. Now, the problem is some believe that John 14, 12 only speaks of Brother Branham, where Brother Branham himself believed it speaks for everyone who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And that is also include himself, especially with the greater works, as we saw in his ministry. Yet it's just as important for all believers. Can you imagine Brother Branham not having a ministry? I mean, can you imagine Brother Branham's ministry if he didn't go forth with the signs of the Holy Ghost with him? Now, can you believe, can you imagine your own testimony with nothing to show for it? Except for, well, I believe this thing, I believe this, I believe God's not a prophet, I believe. That's what they're doing. And making a poor example of being a Christian. Now, from Christ the mystery, he says, and then the word moves on down into the body from the head. What is it? The same word. Nothing can be added or taken from it. So that same word moves from the head as the day comes close down into the body. Down into the body, vindicating that they are one. What does John 14, 12 do for you? It vindicates that you are one. It's your vindication that you are one. Their husband and wife, their flesh of his flesh, word of his word, life of his life, spirit of his spirit. So you can't throw out the word of his word because the very fact you've got the word and the signs are following shows, it vindicates you are a son of God. All right? It manifests Christ. It bears the same record, same fruit, same word. See? Manifests Christ. Same life, same God, same spirit, same word, same life, amen, same signs. Things that I do shall you do also. Oh, hallelujah, my. And from a sermon, we would see Jesus. William Branham tells us the reason why John 14, 12 is for all and what purpose it is for. But now, while he's here working with his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, then if his spirit is with us, he will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. It'll make you, that's every one of you, act the same way, because it's not your spirit anymore, it's his spirit in you, Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, he that believeth in me, St. John 14, 12, the works that I do, shall ye do also. When you felt led to have prayer for the sister, that wasn't you, that wasn't Terry. That was Jesus Christ living himself out in you. And when those people gathered around and held hands and prayed, and Some I prayed out loud, some didn't, prayed quietly. That was the Holy Ghost in you. Oh, wow. John 14, 12. We will do the same works. We will think the same thoughts. we will live the same type of life. If the Spirit of God is in you, it makes you live like Christ, Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle. See, that's when you become a written epistle. Read of all men, Christ in you, reflecting his light out of you. As God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and reflecting God on his own body. Now, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. God was in Christ. And what Christ's attitude was, you know, God was in Christ, and you know what? The Jews killed him. Why? Well, they just saw a Nazarene. They just saw the son of Mary and Joseph. They didn't see the God that was in him. But he did. And you know what? The apostles saw it in him. And you know what? We see it in each other. All right? No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared. God was in Christ. And what Christ's attitude was God's attitude. Because the two work together. The spirit and the flesh united together. For my identification, he said, we've got to take the entire full gospel. We must, and now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in his image that we might reflect his presence. And the works that I do shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take him as an example and let our character be molded like his. What a thing. Amen. Can you imagine on the other side? You won't be running into all this other riffraff that's in the world. You're just, everybody you see has got the Holy Ghost, or they're not there. You know, God set up a wall around his city. And only those with his spirit are going to live in it. Amen. Then when we let his character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ. The mind, which is his character. Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let that mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. You know, I talked to my granddaughter, Ella, and you all know the story. And she wanted to hear from God. And I said, well, has God ever spoken to you his word when you're going to do something and change your mind about doing it? She said, yeah. You know, the thing about the candy, she was going to take the candy, and God said, thou shalt not steal. And she listened to it, and she didn't steal. Well, you see, that happens to every one of us. Driving down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, don't look between those two houses. And if you disobey, and you look, there's a woman out there, she's half naked. And now you've got to fight that spirit on you. You see, God's Holy Spirit wants us to be sensitive to his word, to live like Christ, to act like Christ, to think like Christ. From only true living church, he said, now the gospel commonly believed is the word of God. And that is true to one sense. But the word of God is not the gospel alone. The word of God is a seed that produces the gospel. Jesus said, a sower went forth and sowed seed. And some fell into stony places, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air devoured them up. Some fell upon thorny thistle ground, some went over and brought 100-fold. Now the seed, you people here who are farmers, every seed will produce if it's in the right kind of ground. And every divine promise of God in the Bible will produce if it's met in the right kind of a heart. It'll produce the promise. If you have need of salvation, believe that he saves you and accept his sacrificial death, and you shall receive what you have asked for. So if you believe for your salvation, you've accepted it, you know that you're saved, why is it such a hard thing to take that same faith and apply for your healing? Huh? If you're weary and gloomy and feel like that everyone's against you, well, then come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that's a seed, so we got to accept it. If you're sick, it was wounded for our transgression, with the stripes we are healed. Accept it. It's a seed. It will produce. When you sow a seed, you don't dig it up every morning to see if it comes to pass. If you do, your seed will never come up. You got to plant it, commit it to the earth, and let it alone. It's up to nature, God, to water it and to see that it produces. Is that true? So that's the way you do with the word of God. You accept it in a good heart, already fertilized, and all the creepers and the rocky places and the stony doubts taken away, and in good, rich soil of faith, and believe it, commit it to God, and walk away. Testify that you have received what God has promised you. And he's the high priest of your confession to make right anything that you confess that he has done. That's the gospel. Now, the gospel isn't only the word. Could you imagine people freezing to death, and I would paint them a picture of a fire? And I'd say, look at that burning fire. Isn't it warm? Look at the people standing around warming. But that's only a picture of something that has been. You'd freeze just the same, looking at the picture. What it takes is that fire to be reproduced against your warmth. In other words, a real fire. And the gospel that was in that day is written in the word as a history, a painted fire of what was. So accept the same seed that they accept. And it'll be a living reality to you. That'll bring you into the same experience that they had. Say, well, Reverend Branham, is that the truth? According to the writings of the scriptures, St. Paul said, the gospel come to us not by word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus commissioned the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not, And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay? Now, from Thinking Man's Filter. Oh my, there is that real filtration of all the sin of the world, and the love of the world is dead, and this soul is drawing only one thing. Here it is. Don't forget it. All you out there on the telephone, set this down in your mind. When a thinking man begins to think who he's going to stand before, and what the word of God is, then he begins to think. Then when he draws through that, there's nothing can get to it but the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's a germ seed from the beginning. That you was in God at the beginning, standing here drawing the seed left. If every politician was a Christian, you wouldn't see abortion. You wouldn't see welfare. Not in the mode that they have today. You wouldn't see LGBT laws, homosexual marriages. You wouldn't see any of that because they're going to have to answer to God for every decision that they've made. And if you voted for them, guess what? You are guilty. It's like you put the pistol in their hand and said, go do it. That's exactly. You can't be a Democrat and be a Christian. And you can hardly be a Republican and be a Christian. You might be a conservative Christian and be a Republican, but you certainly aren't a conservative Christian just because you're a Republican. There's many homosexuals are Republicans. So, but they're all going to answer to God. The seed in your heart is in your heart by foreordination. Hallelujah. The seed is already in there by the foreknowledge of God, predestinated. And when it draws, it can't draw through nothing else but the word. That's why you've changed in your life. What did it? The word did it. The word did it. That's all. Listen, this is so important to understand, so I'm going to read it again. The seed is in your heart by foreordination. Hallelujah. The seed is already in there by the foreknowledge of God, predestined, and when it draws, it can't draw through nothing else but the word. And then it's the taste of the thinking man, the righteous man, the holy man who sees the Bible, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What comes into that place down there? That word that's in the heart. I've hid thy word in my heart that I sin not against thee. What is it when it's drawing through the word? There's only one thing will pass through the word. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing that can pass through the word is the Holy Ghost. And a thinking man's filter gives a holy man a taste. So you see that the seed is foreordained to be in you. From before the foundations of the world. It is not something that you added. It was always in there. You had it and were ordained to have it thousands, maybe millions of years before this body ever stepped in this place called the earth. Why? Because you have eternal life. Oh, I thought I just received eternal life, John 3:16. You know, when I believed in Jesus, I received eternal life. Listen, if you have eternal life, you have a life that always was, always in the past, always in the future. Well, where was it in the past? It was in God. Now it's in you. You see? But it's the same life. You had it, and all it took was for this word to strike that seed, and wham, you begin to change. You are coming into a real Son of God, and all it took is hearing this word. Others can hear it and are not interested. It's not for them. It's for you. From the future home, he says. You see, through the sexual intercourse here, had brought from Satan the serpent, which was not a reptile. He had legs till his legs went off of him. He was the most subtle, the only beast that could ever coordinate with a woman. A beast seed wouldn't do it, man or nothing. They tried it, it won't work. See, the seed life of a male won't go into a female woman. It won't do it, but that was the closest thing. You see, a woman cannot take the seed of a monkey, nor that of a dog or cat or rat, only the seed from a male human. And the serpent was so close to the human male that she was deceived. Why? Because she committed adultery. She was a type of the make-believer. So an LGBT cannot mate with another LGBT and produce children. Two men cannot produce children and two women cannot produce children. They can't do it. And you know what? If you're an LGBT woman who dresses like a man and you try to bring forth a child, you're not going to do it either. They can plant an ovary in you. They can make your parts by surgery look just like a woman. And you know what? You're still a man. Your pelvis is at a 45-degree angle and the woman's is at like a 33. I mean, there's things in your body that'll never change. If 10,000 years down the road, they look at your body, they say, well, that was either a man or that's a woman. They don't say, oh, but he felt like he was a woman, so I guess we'll call him a woman. You see? The science is not there. At the end, the two spirits will be so close till they would be deceived, if it were possible. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elected. Behold, I've told you before. So when did he tell us before? Because that is what he said. Behold, I told you before. I'll tell you when we were told before. When we read the story of Adam and Eve, and the two spirits were so close that the wrong one inseminated Eve. And then she was inseminated by the right one, Adam. She was able to receive seed from two sources, and she got seduced by the wrong spirit incarnate in a vessel. And it all goes back to Genesis, because every seed will bring forth of his kind, and we can identify Cain by his fruits, and thus who his father was. So you see, it was all part of God's redemptive plan to allow the beast seed to mingle with our human seed and brought about a need of his salvation. Then the seed word of God being planted in your body, like a seed being planted in the good ground, cause you to respond to the word of God that you heard. And then when you meditate upon that word, that released the life of God in you and through you. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, who is he? He's the word. As many as received him, in other words, those who were of such a nature as to receive and hold on to him and his promises, which is his word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, this becoming sons of God is not being transformed from one species to another, like you were a pig and now you're a human. But to become is like a tadpole that becomes a frog. It's born a tadpole, born without legs, but it grows out legs. Because he was always meant to be a frog. Or like a caterpillar, when it moves into its mature state, it becomes a butterfly. Well, that caterpillar, it's already a butterfly. It just needs to rest in the presence of the sun, okay, and become. And when you are born again from God, you grow up to the state of maturity that you will be adopted and thus become from a man or woman into a son or daughter of God. Not changing species, just changing just allowing the Word of God to have its proper place in your life. Now, the word power, because it says, you know, he's given you the power to become sons of God. The word power is translated from the Greek word exousia, which means authority to become. So you see, if you don't have that life in you, you don't have the authority to become anything. But if you have that seed life in there, then you have the authority to become what is already there. All right? And then he tells us in 13, which were born not of blood. In other words, your parents had nothing to do with it. Nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, you didn't have anything to do with it. Nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, only those born of God can become what they are born to become. And that is sons and daughters of God. Now, from the masterpiece, living, they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed life, but when they organized, the life moved out of that seed. That's proven by all history. Never an organization ever done a thing after it organized. It was dead. That's right. And the very fact it goes to organization shows what seed's in it. It's not the seed of God. All right? Watch the life traveling on now. It's moving. Notice what they have done. All these have done is to prove by history just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to him again. Organization is laid on the shelf like Brother Vail laid eternal hell on the shelf until he understood that you have to have eternal life if you're going to have an eternal hell. Okay? There never has been in all of history of the church after organized, but what it died. And the organization died and never did raise again. Can you see it? Men who are blind, open your eyes. Nature of the word, coordinating together and proving it's right. Hear that this is the truth, that it is the truth, that life leads the stalk to make the tassel. From the tassel, it makes the husk. And from the husk, it goes into the original again. Notice, never again to be useful to him. Now, the warning comes to those who hear the word, but then stay in their organization. To organize is to die, so all these churches that have organized around a personality are dead. And it matters not who that personality is, whether it's Paul, whether it's Peter, whether it's Luther, whether it's Wesley, whether it's William Branham. If you organize around a personality, you're dead. The angel told William Branham, if you organize around Jesus Christ, you are dead. All right? That means you just don't organize. Now, the angel told William Branham, which means it's in the same way, that John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so will your message forerun my second coming. Notice he used the word as John the Baptist did. So, it was not a ministry, nor was it a man, but it was a message that will forerun his coming. Even the apostle said, if an angel from heaven or even myself come to you and bring something I have not spoken to you, let him be accursed. That was Galatians 1:6. And it's so important, he said again in Galatians 1:9. From the token, Brother Brown said, university can tell you what a seed's made of, out of, but it can't give it life. Your education only takes you farther from God. Now, all we have to do is look at the atmosphere that you see around a campus or of higher learning, so-called, and it's filthy, it's debased, it's just a human condition at its worst. But you attend church with others who have the Holy Ghost, and you will see a life completely different. One is yielded to worldly sensation of their peers, while the other life is yielded to the Word of God and led by the Holy Ghost. That's why he said, forsake not the gathering together. Now, I really feel sorry for people who aren't here that should be here, that know better, but they've given a priority to the world instead of to God. I really feel for them because they're not going to make it. Are you saying that they're not? Yeah, I'm saying they're not going to make it. You give your priority to God, and you'll make it. For sure, we would see Jesus. He said, now, the way they told whether the prophet was right or not was because they watched the prophet. And if he said anything and prophesied and it came to pass, God said, you hear that prophet, for I'm with him. But if he doesn't come to pass, then ignore what he says. Now that's no more than right. See, if there is be one a prophet among you, spiritual or other, or a prophet, I know the Lord will make myself known to him in visions. Well, you know, we're supposed to have a prophet today, but how many visions has he had? Then God hasn't made himself known. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible said. I just read it. If there be one, a prophet among you, spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in visions, speak to him through dreams. And if what this prophet says comes to pass, then hear him, for I'm with him. But if it doesn't, then don't. So don't hear him. I don't care if it's a prophet or not. Don't hear him. We've already had the seventh messenger. There isn't an eighth. So Jesus standing there, and they had not had a prophet for 400 years in Israel. And here stood a man that seen an ordinary fisherman come up and told him what his name was and what his father's name was. What an outstanding thing. What was he doing? He was calling that man. And when the light flashed upon the predestinated seed, life come quickly, and he recognized what it was. So, like I said before, to them who are such a nature as to receive him, these are the true sons and daughters of God, and so they shall manifest what they already are by predestination. That is what John 1:12 tells us. Now, from convinced, and we're just about closing, convinced and concerned, Brother Branham said, I want to ask you something. I'm going to inject a little thought here. You'll think it's Baptist, but it's not. It's the Bible. Look, there was those well-turned scholars looked upon that sign that he done and called him a devil. But here's a prostitute, but in her laid that predestinated seed of God. She'd never seen nothing like it. And as soon as that light struck the seed, life sprung up. Why? It had life in it to begin with. Now, Brother Branham drew an illustration on the board. The first circle was a Pharisee, and that circle was all white. So just picture on the board a circle in chalk, and then he filled it in all white, except for a little black dot in there. Then he draws another one. It's the widow woman, and he draws a circle, and then she's all black. But there is a little white speck in there. And the woman who had not been living a righteous life was represented by another circle that was all black, but had one dot of white within her. Now, they both responded to the word. The Pharisee rejected it, while the little prostitute received it. The circle that represented the Pharisee being all white, but had a black dot inside, then turned all black, while the circle, which represented the woman, and started out all black, but had a little white dot in it, turned all white. And so this illustration shows what happens when you turn down the word and what happens when you receive the word. So if you receive the Holy Ghost and come in like a button, then by the time you're adopted, it'll fill every fiber of your body. I'm looking forward to that time. That's duality of Scripture, or parallelism of Scripture, which the Bible speaks of blessing and cursing throughout all the Scripture. In Deuteronomy 28, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, blessing shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You don't even see it coming. But verse 15 says, but if you will not hearken to the voice of God, these curses will come upon thee, and you won't even see them coming. They'll overtake thee. And as John 1:12 tells us, to them who are of such a nature as to receive him, these are the two sons of God, and so they shall manifest what they have already are in, by predestination. That is what we read in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, you see, you've got to water the seed. Hearken to the voice of God is to pay close attention to it. Not to hearken to the voice of God is not pay close attention to it. Oh, I believe it, but you know what? It's not important to me. It's like people say, well, everything Brother Brian said, well, you know, we see he's quoting the prophet. He's, quoting the Bible, but we're not going to pay attention to it. You know what? You're lost. That's all the difference between the seed living and dying. Pay attention and live, or don't pay attention and die. Look and live, or don't look and die. From look away to Jesus, he said, that they see the clearly vindicated word like Pilate and the rest of them did, like the Roman soldier, but are you going to wait too late to do anything about it? We should have used the spear the other way. The doors will be closed like it was in the days of Noah, and then it's too late. You might wake up some morning and say, I intend to get out of this mess. Well, don't wait too long. You better look and live now. They were told that if they only looked at the brazen serpent on the pole, they were to look and live. And that is what we are to do, look and live. They that are looking for him, to them he shall come the second time. When a situation arises and God acts on the same situation, the way that he acted the first time, he must act every time when that same situation arises, or he acted wrong when he acted in the first place. It's just that simple. Look and live. Come. He came down. He is the one who is working in you to will and to do. All you have to do is look at what he is doing and live. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to see the life of Christ in the believers. And Father, we know that John 14:12, just professing it, and we'll see more of it. And so, Lord, we just commit our life and John 14:12 in that life as a reflection of your life for all to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you.